This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh. I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. Now, we all know that there's only one pope, but what if there were two popes? One, two popes kneel before you, that's what I said. Now, with these popes who adore God, just go and pray now. With one head, diamonds on his big head, communion bread now. And this one won't wear those fancy slippers, that's what he said. Yeah. Now. Sanctus, sanctus, habemus papam. And if you don't want to get mad again, don't watch Spotlight now. And just want to have some fun at the Vatican, just watch two popes now. And if you have some sins to confess, just go ahead now. And if you want to see some progress, that's Pope Francis now. We watch the two popes, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
I want to see Castle!
I wanted to yuck everybody, and I did!
Yeah, but you are.
Hey,
I'm just killing.
He's disgusting.
Okay,
looking.
Bitch, watch this.
I love Bazinga.
Jesus Christ.
Bazinga. Losers, in other words.
Oh, why don't you want to get in the bathtub?
Bazinga.
It's Sicario.
You got me straight tripping,
buddy. Very familiar with, like, Calvinism as a concept.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, it's Carol. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, it's Carol. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, it's Carol. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens, it's Carol.
Welcome to GCF, all you cool cats and kittens. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have good Christian fun. Good Christian fun is the podcast where no matter the times, certain or uncertain, we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian music, Christian movies, entertainment, stuff made for, made by, made to, made from Christians. That means Protestants and Catholics, yo, okay? Both at the same time. Everyone's a Christian.
Welcome to our town, Catholics. I don't think you wanted to be here.
But we're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church, which, you know what? We wouldn't even be able to do right now anyway. We're just here to have some good Christian fun. I guess we could do like a Zoom church or a Skype church, a Google Hangout church. But today we're talking about a movie that's kind of Christian pop culture, depending on who you ask. It's a movie that's called not one, but the two popes.
That's right.
TTP. Nothing respect for RTP. That's the two popes. Some other TP in the news is getting a lot more coverage these days, but we're here to bring it back to the TP that matters. And that is two popes. But to do that, we will need a very special guest. So friends and folks, what more can I say about this woman? She is an improviser. She's a comedian and an actress. You can hear on Comedy Bang Bang or Improv for Humans. Friends and folks, give it the hell up for Lisa Gilroy!
Hey!
Hi! Hello!
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah. No, dance.
Now, Lisa, we found out ahead of the episode, they're actually uniquely prepared for this kind of podcasting.
Uniquely qualified.
Okay, wait. Also, I just realized how bad it's already gotten, because I did my Space Jam showdown while the GCF music was probably playing, but I couldn't hear it. So now it's just going to sound like I have no respect for Sing Your Praise to the Lord.
Oh, no. You couldn't hear it at all?
I can't believe you don't have respect for that song.
Wait, can you hear
well,
this?
It's going to sound awful. Yes, but you know what I mean? When you're on Zoom and then you start to talk, it makes everything else less important.
Mm-hmm. Just as long as we can hear it. Now, that being said, I have virtually no other clips prepared for the show. But wasn't it worth all the technical hiccups to hear?
It was worth it. It was worth it. Because here's what's going to happen.
Intro.
We're going to decide we need to hear puppets singing Kirk Franklin.
I love it. I think I'm really impressed with the way people are adapting to the times. The stick-to-itiveness people are showing, the moxie. People are learning how to record at home and get setups going and start podcasts with their wives and spouses or their children, going viral on TikTok. Jack Black himself started a TikTok today. Isn't that nice? Caroline just slipped out of her seat, grabbing her phone.
Whoa.
This I gotta see.
Oh my God.
Now, Lisa, do you have any comments about the state of the UCB theater?
Oh God. Yeah, well, I don't know. People are like afraid it's going to shut down.
Yeah.
But if it shuts down, then everything's going to shut down. Then the whole world will shut down. Anyways, I will be back doing my solo show, Dillweed, whether or not the theater survives.
Yeah, do you want to plug those? Wait, is it true that you're going to be performing a version of the show over Instagram Live in a couple of weeks?
I wish you knew how many times my husband has tried to make me do this. He's like, in a way, my husband is like, how your mom talks about your career sometimes. He's like, people will love it. You have the costumes. We can set up little lights. People will watch. I'm like, no, I would never do that.
Here's the thing. I respect you, Lisa, but in this case, Steve is right. And I would watch. And I know you have the costumes and the lights.
It would be so demoralizing.
And, you know, maybe Steven Spielberg will see it. And then, you know, you could write him a letter.
That's how Vin Diesel became a movie star. Steven Spielberg saw a Vin Diesel short film at like one of his daughter's parties, and he's like, well, I'm gonna put that guy in Saving Private Ryan. I'm not kidding.
Wait,
that's how Vin Diesel came into our
Vin
lives.
Vin Diesel is in Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah, he is.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wait,
I used to think he was so hot. Like when I was a child, I was like, I'd love to have sex with that man.
Vin Diesel?
Oh my God. Really? No, I get that. I fully get that.
I don't get
Lisa,
it.
Lisa, how have you been handling things the last couple of weeks, quarantine life? You're with your sweet hubby throughout it all. What's been the most comforting things right now?
In terms of quarantine, I feel just alternating between laughing and crying.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'm just having the most fun and other times I'm just weeping inconsolably. So it was my dad's 60th birthday yesterday. So that was really sad because I was supposed to be on like a big trip with him right now. Mm. And so all that got canceled, obviously. And then we had like a little virtual party for him that was like just kind of shitty. And it just, everything just made me sad.
No.
It is so funny. The thing that makes me laugh
these days is doing like the social things like the Zoom or like Google Hangout birthday parties, or even like playing a game with everybody on Jackbox TV or something like that. And then imagining if you were doing it because you wanted to and not because you had to, imagining everyone just like wants to stay home and like, yeah, I'm going to get on Jackbox TV and play an online game with my friend, as if it was like anybody's choice.
Oh, yeah. No, we would never do that. But this is what I was talking to my friend about, because my best friend lives in Washington, D.C., and we have been FaceTiming like every night. And that's when I realized that we hardly ever do that. But now that all things are equal and FaceTime doesn't have like, actual in real life person to person contact doesn't have priority over any other kind of contact.
No.
You just pick your favorite people. That's all you do.
And you have picked your favorite people. Have there been any surprising people in your life that you've ended up talking to a lot or have even reached out to you that you wouldn't expect?
Yeah, actually, some people from Toronto, where I haven't lived in like 3 years now, have reached out. And yeah, which is weird because there were people also I didn't really talk to much when I lived in Toronto. So stuff like that's weird, but it's nice. And also, like Kevin, you were saying, even you FaceTimed me a couple days ago, and you're right, like etiquette for FaceTime is completely out the window. Like if any of these people had dared to FaceTime me, if there wasn't a pandemic, I'd be like, excuse you, this is like coming to my house and ringing my doorbell. But now
it's just being in my house.
Anyone can do it.
Well, for me, the stage I've gone through it too is like there was such a novelty and a newness to the situation at first, and it did feel there were like, as horrible as it all is, it felt a little bit more like snow day vibes, like right at the beginning. And now that the novelty is worn off and it's not new anymore, it's just kind of like a monotonous part of life that is just like a little bit more cumbersome and annoying. The desire to reach out to different people every day has kind of diminished for me. So I've been trying to pick and choose where I can.
That's true for me too. I feel really bad because right now I feel like my average response rate for text messages is 48 hours later, which is, there's no excuse for that, but I don't want to look at my phone anymore.
The guilt for an unresponded to text now is tremendously bad for me. Or I've even got like, I think generally it speaks to this whole thing for me of like, I don't like anyone knowing where I am at any given moment. Is that weird? Mm. Why are you wagging your little thingy, Caroline?
That's why I turn notifications on.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about off mic before we started.
Tracking your movements.
Caroline said she used to have notifications for any time I tweeted so she would know where I was at.
Not physically where you're at, but emotionally, yes. Because sometimes I didn't know.
I thought you meant geographically.
I did, but I changed my mind.
Now, if judging by the tweets alone... And we've talked other than tweets, but judging by the tweets alone in the last 7 days, where do you think I'm at right now?
Bitter. you are.
Really?
Let's see.
Single-handedly taking down Ellen DeGeneres.
Bitter? I'm not a bitter person.
And then, and also some classic Kevin, like funny. Lying.
Lying? Oh my gosh. Let me ask you this, Lisa. How has your church adapted to the quarantine situation? I'm going to assume it's not like the church in Florida where the man just got arrested for holding services with like more than 250 people there. He's like, we're fine. We have his rationale is we have machines that blow viruses off of you when you walk into the sanctuary. So you're actually safer here than you are anywhere else.
He actually said that?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He did.
That's bad. Well, our church is doing like digital get down, which I actually don't care about and haven't watched any of them, which is like probably bad. But I can't believe what a nice break it is to not have anything to do on a Sunday.
Yeah. So for you, it's a little more of a snow day on Sunday.
Yeah. Like I just don't tune in. And I feel like maybe that's rude, but I'm loving it. But are you guys going to your digital churches?
I've participated in mine a little bit, and it does kind of suck.
Why does it suck?
It's just like, the message stuff is fine, and it's actually like kind of fun to chat in the comments on the side, which is like basically the equivalent of like texting each other during church or passing notes and like making jokes or getting off track or just having like side talk. and that for like whatever the message is. But anytime they're like, all right, now get into your discussion groups, we're going to randomly assign you to people on Zoom. It's just like, whoa.
Wait, and you're actually there? Like you're on like Facebook?
You're on the Zoom thing.
Oh my God.
So that I opted out of for the most part. But yeah, that was a little strange for me.
But that's cool. I feel like that sounds
I mean,
like
everyone's
more fun.
Trying and everyone's like adapting. And I feel like 2 weeks from now, we're all going to be better at it than we were 2 weeks ago and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting the ways people have decided to pivot and who was like ready for this moment in some ways and people who were not. Because some people were like halfway there already and some people are just kind of flailing.
I also, just one last thought on church. I think I realized during this pandemic, I spend 99% of the service just on my phone, actively not listening. So I just don't want to do that in my living room while it's on TV.
Yeah. Mm. Although you have the most excuse to do that on the TV in the living room, right?
Yeah, but then it's like, why even turn it on? Because really, I'm going to church so I can talk to people after the service, and I also like the music.
It depends on,
if it's just going to be music on the radio, then I'll just do that.
Is that the biggest charge for you, is like getting the worship music and then talking to people?
I actually don't really like talking to people. It's just music. I know it's horrible. And guys, I'm like, I'm backsliding hard.
Wait, how do you mean backsliding? What's going on?
Like, I just feel like church is not my number one favorite place to be.
No, I get that. That's not number one for hardly anyone who listens to this
show. Lisa, I know, but Satan hovering over your shoulder right now.
Truly, I would not be surprised. But like, I used to enjoy going on Sundays, and I just feel like lately, I don't know. I just feel like I'm not that into it anymore.
Well, it is funny how something like this can like render what is already teetering on the edge of irrelevance in your life fully irrelevant, because you're like, oh, why am I even pretending to care about this? Like, even the things that you care about at your core and like relationships that you care about at your core, when it even tests those, the things that you're kind of like 50-50 or a little bit iffy on already, I feel like this is going to be a great like reshift of priority for us all as far as that stuff goes.
Totally. I was even wondering, like, career-wise, I feel like tons of people are going to change career. Or, like, I'm just sitting here in my apartment constantly thinking, like, do I do comedy? What is comedy? Am I good at it? Why do I do it? Do I like it? Do I even have fun doing it? Or do I have more fun being quarantined not doing it?
I know exactly what you mean. No, and it is so funny to think about, like, there's all these games of comparison that we play all the time with this stuff, and especially in fields like this, where it's just like, well, this person got this and she got that and she's doing really well and blah, 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 blah. And now to know that everyone's equally not doing well. You know what I mean? That everyone's like kind of...
it's like weirdly comforting. And I keep thinking about, because before I feel like I would obsess over deadline articles and like who got that thing I auditioned for. And, I just got a notification that the meeting has been upgraded.
Hey.
Upgrade. Can't wait for my drinks to be delivered.
We do have a courier coming over. He is risking his life for your martini, but he'll be there in 20 minutes.
But yeah, I used to read, like, scan deadline and see who got what. And now, and there was women before this all hit that I'd be like, oh, fuck, that girl got it. Or this, wow, they're shooting. They just started shooting this pilot now. Or they cast this person with it. And I can't imagine, like, if this had been a year for me to book something and then to have it be like, you know, you finally get to share your deadline article and be like, can't believe it. I'm cast as the lead in this pilot, feeling so blessed, booked and blessed. And then 2 days later, it's shut down forever.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible.
Yeah, that'd be embarrassing.
So has anything come up for you that like you feel like you care about more, or things that you've even been surprised by? Like, oh, wow, I didn't know I cared about this as much.
That's a great question, Kevin. I think really the just doing nothing, like baths are suddenly very important to me. Must have an hour long bath daily.
Must.
Like a Victorian lady.
Must.
Simply must. I simply must have my short neighborhood walk and my long bath.
I've gotten really, really into the hummingbirds that live outside my apartment.
Oh, I'm jealous.
See, there's some teeny tiny positive side effects. The air, well, maybe not today, but generally the air in LA has been a little less smoggy and a lot more clear. No traffic for when you want to drive by the beach and not get on it. And you know, other things like, although I will say I went to get takeout the other night and it felt like a death-defying Mission Impossible, and I'm never going to do it again.
Why? What happened?
I went because I wanted to support a local business. Like, oh, they must be doing so hard right now, blah, blah, blah. So I ordered some stuff and I went to pick it up so I wasn't putting like a Postmates person out. And then I get there and the line's out the door for this like independently owned restaurant in Pasadena, California on Colorado Boulevard. And I was like, oh, surely I will be their benefactor. They'll be thanking me. And
there's you're
like,
welcome.
There's like 12 other people there. So it's very hard to feel useful right now to anybody in any meaningful way.
But also the lineup out the door thing, it's like, well, we also have to be 6 feet apart. So any lineup looks really intense. I've also experienced that.
Yeah.
Where you just, you're not even allowed to line up in the place. So it feels like it's extremely busy.
Yeah. Cause usually like beforehand we were like touching butts in that line and now you can't do that anymore. I guess you can't do that now. Thanks a lot, Corona. Nice guys like me Corona. Can't get in line to get my pad thai.
I feel like, but ordering delivery, isn't that also kind of good? Because then you give someone a tip and they get paid for a delivery.
Yeah, yes. So I just feel bad putting a body in harm's way, even if they.
I keep thinking that too. I've been desperately wanting to order like puzzles and paint by numbers, but I'm like, so some Amazon Prime delivery person is going to come deliver this spoiled little bitch her crafts and put themselves in the way of a life-threatening virus. Seems not good.
No. Yeah, but you know what? Self-care is so important right now. And the best way it is, it's kind of putting that to the test too. Like all the rhetoric that we've built up about like self-care and like, you know, you need to love yourself first and blah, 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 blah. Like all that stuff and like what we actually mean when we say all that is fully being put to the test now too.
How are you caring for yourself, Kev?
Oh man, you know, just trying to stay active on my group chats and check in with my people a good amount. Sometimes it's life sucking and sometimes it's life giving, but it feels good to be in the flow of it. And it's been funny. I've been surprised. Like sometimes I'll like mention something offhandedly and then like very sweet, a friend of mine, after I mentioned something offhandedly in like a big group Zoom thing, he called me the next day on FaceTime, like one-on-one. He was like, hey, I just wanted to talk to you because I know you said you were feeling blah, blah, blah the other day. So like, how are you doing with all that? And just like people are being very
nice.
Sincere and sweet. I'm trying to keep myself open to like good surprises from people and being like positively surprised by people's kindness and their gestures and even like the attempts made by people, even if they're not perfect. I think everyone's, you know, literally doing their best right now. So as far as like self-care for you and comfort, I feel like on this show, we talk about like media that we go back to and stuff that is like such a comfort for us. Like, oh, when I'm blah, 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 I watch this over and over again, or I binge the West Wing, or I do whatever. Like, have you found yourself particularly attracted or gravitated back towards certain media during this trying time?
It's the same. I have the same like default anytime I'm sad or stressed out. I always go on r/awe on Reddit. It's the only place I can feel safe.
r/awe.
Yeah, it's truly just pictures of animals being cute and having a good time. And I was saying just the other day. How many what? Oh, it's two W's.
Two W's, thank you.
It's a lifesaver. And I can spend hours on it and I don't feel bad after. You know, I always feel better at the end.
Oh, that's lovely.
And so I was telling Steve. It's a...
No, that's the one, Caroline. Keep typing it in.
No.
But yeah, I was telling Steve, it's aww, probably a little like creepy, but I was saying it's kind of like animal, like, okay, so it's not porn, obviously,
like
but I was
porn.
Drawing
boo.
I was drawing a connection to, I feel like it has that effect on me where I could scroll for so long, there's only so long I can handle it before I have to put my phone down and go grab my cat and cuddle my cat. It's like, it has that effect on me.
Yeah.
Horny for cuddles.
Exactly. Like, Caroline, I dare you to scroll for 10 minutes without touching Scampi afterwards.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm so sorry. Gang, I'm so sorry I didn't put this at the front of the show, but you both have an announcement to make concerning the future of your respective pets.
Well, we'll see if the celebration is able to happen now, you know, with all of it.
We'll probably have to postpone, but Kevin, thanks for apologizing for not putting it at the front of the show. I did think that was weird.
Why you're welcome. I just want to attend to both of your needs.
Yeah, I didn't want to be a diva about it.
Yeah. So Caroline had been making Instagram stories about Scampi, her very beautiful cat. And I've always thought that Moose, my cat, and Scampi could have like a healthy, good relationship. I feel like they have a lot in common. And so Moose asked Scampi to marry him.
Wow. Oh, okay. Caroline's playing Going to the Chapel. Oh. Yeah.
So. Scampi said yes. Well, I'm very excited. I've always hoped that she would meet a nice young cat. To be honest, I didn't know if she was straight or not, so this was kind of an interesting discovery for me as well.
Well, she could be bi. She could be pan.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah. How close-minded.
And isn't that woke of me to point that out? And isn't that interesting?
That was woke of you. Yeah. And Scampi is busy preparing her trousseau, which is her litter box. It's filled. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited. And it's a big bringing together two kingdoms, I'd say. You know, the
totally.
Kingdoms. Wow.
And it's going to bring a lot of peace to the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is how we heal. This is first how we heal. Now, neither Lisa nor Caroline has asked me to officiate yet, but if they were to, I would gladly and humbly accept the honor of their request.
I think we'll keep looking.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Cool, cool, cool.
We might need like a DJ.
No, I don't think you would want me to DJ, Caroline.
You have Spotify, right?
Here's what I do. Here's what I do at weddings. I am the MC. I've been the MC at like three different friends' weddings.
Me too. And I have started asking people, please don't ask me. Because it's truly the only way to guarantee you will not have a fun, relaxing time.
It feels so bad. It feels so bad to have like just a little menial. It's always like, it always feels like a consolation prize from certain friends too, where it's like, well, we don't love you enough to put you in the wedding party, but I don't know. You're kind of funny. Do you want to MC? Like, do you want to?
Okay, Kev, this is the way, because people kept asking Steve and I to do it like as a couple.
Yeah.
We did six
to
weddings
MC
together.
As a couple?
MCing. Yeah. We did
six.
Wow. So
you must have been very good at it.
We developed a system. Here's a way for anyone listening. I almost feel a little bit nervous to divulge this in a public platform, but in case somebody asks me, they're going to know this is exactly this is the tactic. If you have constantly been asked to be an MC at a wedding and you do not like to do it, this is what you do. The couple will inevitably take you for lunch or coffee or something, and then there's like that moment where they look all excited because they have already announced, they sent out the save the dates and whatever, and they look at you like, this is going to be the greatest honor of your life. You know, Kev?
Oh, you know.
You know, and there's that moment you can tell they're about to ask you?
I've seen it, yeah.
Okay, so then they go like, so we were wondering if you would MC our wedding, and then you go, you guys, I actually was coming to tell you guys today that I don't know if I can come to the wedding because I have this gig that I blah, 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 blah. And then they go, no, that's too bad. And then right on the very last day where you can put in your RSVP, you magically can come. And by then they've already asked another MC.
Hell yes. This is very
good. Wow.
So then you don't have to be the asshole that's like, no, I don't want to do it.
I love this.
But you are also telling your friend, I would take a gig over your wedding given the opportunity.
Caroline, this is not a friend who's close enough to have you in the bridal party. Keep in mind, as Kevin pointed out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. If it was a bridesmaid position, you couldn't.
Yeah, then you just do it. But bridesmaid is easier, I feel, especially because I live so far away from all my close friends. So I never have to do any of the duties.
Lisa, how many bridesmaids did you have in your wedding?
Well, you know, I was a young bride, so of course I had too many.
How many?
That's
was
always
it,
how
though?
It goes, isn't it? I think I had five.
Five. Okay, I've seen some that are like eight or nine. So you're on the low.
Yeah, the younger you are, the more
in
you
a
have.
Wedding where they had 16.
Holy shit! Each. On one side or in total?
No, that was one side. That was just bridesmaids.
16.
That's also so much pressure for the guy to scrounge up 16 friends that you know he doesn't have.
I know. I can't remember. I think he did have that many too, but he is also like a very well-connected person. So for him, it was like, all right, great. Then like all my pals get an invite. That's great.
Hey. That's crazy. How many did you have, Caroline?
I had five.
Yeah. But I feel like if I got married now, I'd have like three max.
Yeah. I think I would just have my sister probably if I was married now.
Really?
All my other friends.
How many would you have, Kev?
Thank you.
Zip, zero, zilch, I think.
Really? You would do like super small ceremony?
That's family tradition, though, it feels like, because my siblings both had like no wedding party, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it always feels kind of, what are we doing here? Like the pomp and circumstance of that stuff. I'd love to like celebrate my friends and make them feel special, but I don't know if that's the best way to do it. It's to like give them tasks to do. And like a rehearsal dinner, like, oh, dinner's free. And then you have to do a bunch of other, you're just standing there. You're just like, okay, yeah. It's just like during the ceremony.
I was watching you get dressed, like, nice.
Yeah, oh, the wedding photos where it's like, I'm doing my tie. And the guy's like, hey, you got this, man. You got this.
You got this.
Now, before we take a little break and get into the topic here, Lisa Gilroy, I do want to ask, like, generally, how everything that's going on right now, the kind of rejiggering of all your priorities, what you've been learning about yourself and stuff, how this has all affected how you think of God or view God, if it's affected prayer life stuff or not, if you even pray anymore, who cares? Like, is God even relevant in life right now in the age of Corona?
You know, I'm glad we watched Two Popes. I know we're not getting into it yet, but I just finished watching it right before I got on this call with you guys, and that's probably the most I've thought about God in a long time. So, yeah, to be honest, I haven't really been looking at any of this through a spiritual lens. I feel like I just got to such a point in my career where, like, I would pray enthusiastically for some things, and like, I feel like I was so rooted in faith in the beginning, and then just like everything can just be so shitty and then so good, and it just keeps going like that back and forth until infinity. And so finally I just realized, like, I actually don't know if that's having any bearing on anything that's happening in my life. So it has been a while. I'd say it's been like a couple months since I even prayed. I mean, in some like emergencies, you know, you got to do it.
But some emergencies,
in terms of like, yeah, habitual prayer, I haven't thought about this at all spiritually at all.
Yeah, I get that.
What about you guys? I'm curious to know. I haven't talked about it with anyone in this way.
I've prayed a little bit here and there, but nothing particularly intense or intentional. I still find a lot of faith fulfilled in my day-to-day life by people more than like, God's got this. And it is like chronological snobbery to think like, how could a good God allow Corona? You know, even that stuff, that's not even so much my thing, because there's always been horrible things forever. There's always been natural disasters and plagues and good men dying and good people dying. Like, so that's not really it so much as like, it doesn't feel germane to like being a good neighbor to people is like, because right now it feels like the priority for me and everything I do in my life is being like actually being a good neighbor to people, and meaning like not even just people I like talking to on FaceTime and having fun with, but like people I don't know and the people that I don't know that they don't know and all those people, because of the ripple effects of this. And because of that, I don't find that my actions need to be kind of zhuzhed up by like a faith lens or like an aspect of Christianity where it's like, well, I'm staying home because like, you know, like in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus would want me to blah, 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 blah. I just, yeah, I haven't found it to be particularly useful yet. I've found some prayer to be relaxing and good for me and good for myself sometimes, but I haven't found like my thoughts have shifted even to like a crisis of faith of like, where's God and all this. But just like, it does feel like, I don't know if I need this right now. And I feel like we can be good people to each other and we can be good to each other without any of this.
Yeah, that's great.
And maybe that'll change. I don't know. Ever evolving, fluid situation.
What about you, Caroline? Answer.
I don't know. I also like haven't prayed in a long time, or I'm not really going to church really or doing devos or any other evidence of Christianity necessarily. And
sniffing dog couldn't sniff out of Christianity on this girl. No evidence.
My neighbors wouldn't know I was a Christian. I'll just say that.
They don't hear worship music like you and Nate having like a little worship. What if we did like an apartment. Instagram live worship set in the living room?
God, I hear you know what? My neighbor sharing this wall with me right now as I point to it on my Zoom chat.
Yeah.
She prays like sometimes like really, really loud, like, Jesus, I declare that where there is corruption in the government, it would fall. Where there's like prayers like that.
You're hearing the words.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's loud. And then she was talking on the phone at like 4 a.m, really loud. And I got up and I knocked on the wall and she kept talking. So I knocked again. And she went, I heard you. And I was like, oh, no evidence of Christianity there.
Not such a good neighbor, are we? I feel like I only pray now really if people like ask me to, like if someone's like, hey, this person's in the hospital, like please pray over them, you know.
Or if you get like tagged in a prayer challenge on Instagram.
Yeah, have you always, gotten yeah. tagged in a prayer challenge?
No, I don't think those exist.
I've never heard of that.
Prayer challenge.
What are you supposed to do? Like instead of push-ups, you just pray.
Yeah, like 10 prayers.
Just a long Instagram that. Story. Have you been like?
I honestly love that.
So, yeah, I feel like similar to Kevin, I actually feel that it is like, I don't know if this is the same thing as spiritual, but it does feel cool being like having the reality that someone else's well-being directly affects my well-being and vice versa, like in sharp right. relief in a big way. And like we talk about that corona aside, you know, about like poverty or people who are just having trouble or whatever. And in the two popes, which we'll talk about, that kind of feeling of, you know, that's not really my problem or that's them. Surely someone else is taking care of it or something. There is something kind of special about this time that, yeah, like if I mess up, that hurts someone else directly. And if they mess up, that will hurt me too. And it goes way down the chain. It's not just the person I even like live directly with, you know? So that's kind of cool. I feel like similar to Kevin, I feel very connected to the world.
That's great.
You know, it's like, did you guys see that Megan Amram tweet about what Corona is doing?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
The Megan Amram tweet is, oh my God, I got to find it so I don't beef it. Corona is a blacklight in America is a cum-stained hotel room.
Oh my God.
Vivid, right?
Yeah.
But just in the sense of like exposing
the truth. I'm the cum.
And we're the cum. Good cum fun. No, but just in terms of like exposing whatever the truth is of a relationship or a system or infrastructure, it feels like there, like what Caroline was saying, there's something beautiful if the truth revealed about the infrastructure of relationship in a community or a culture is everyone's dependency or need for one another. If that's like the ultimate truth revealed about this, there's something like terrifying about that, but then also beautiful if we can like enact positive change in that sort of sense. So
do either of you two feel like you have realized you would like to lose some relationships post corona?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I haven't felt that way.
That's good.
Oh man.
I don't either. I was just curious if anyone else.
Oh, you there. Haven't either? So
no.
Are you sure?
I could come up with three if you push me on.
Are you looking at one right now?
Maybe. It's Lisa.
Oh, never. No, if you have to Sophie's choice, me or Lisa, pick Lisa any day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Protect Lisa at all costs. Oh, boy.
I'm a little angel.
I'm just curious. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, I didn't even think about reaching out to this person this whole time, or they didn't reach out to me, or when we did talk, it actually wasn't that fun because we weren't drinking or I don't know, something like that.
I've gotten about some family stuff, obviously, as I've like alluded to or talked about on the show before. And then like, you know, family is family, and I have a pretty good relationship with my family and I like and love all of them. And even like little gestures, oh, you'll love this, Caroline. I got a bag of popcorn in the mail from my family as like a little gift. My parents sent me a bag of red velvet cheddar popcorn that's so good. I can't describe to you how good.
Red velvet cheddar?
It's so good. I really can't describe to you how good this cheddar popcorn is.
Is it homemade?
No, it's like from some company they've been buying from for years. I remember having it when I was home for Christmas, but that's one of those things. It was a gift though, even though gifts are not one of my love languages, because throughout this whole thing, they're in Oklahoma, and so their experience of this is similar in some ways, but a little bit different than what we're going through in like California and Los Angeles County specifically even. So I was like, do you guys even care? Do you guys even care about me? And so I was going through that a little bit. And then they mailed that in, and even just like, it was a small gesture. It's not like, wow, this means, this popcorn means everything to me. But like, the thought of it and the effort of it was meaningful to me. So I feel
that's
like,
so great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing of it, is you just want to share this moment and even have like the forethought of like, oh, 10 years from now, we're going to be looking back on this of like, oh my God. And I have found like some relationships have sweetened in this time. If I can be, you know, a basic person in a community group about it, like there's been some like some sweetness of like the relationships that have been growing during this time that is so intense. And maybe it's like trauma bonding that has like a short tail to it, but it's been nice to connect with like a, maybe like a couple of people every day I've talked to, and everyone's just like, well, how are we doing today? And it's just like, you know, what's the report? And for that little friend group, it's been like really nice to just check in and like the mundanity of that. And having Zoom calls where there's not an expectation of everyone's full undivided attention has been great, because you can drift off, you can check your text messages, you can half listen, you can play a game, you can go make dinner and come back in the room, and having like a casualness to some of those calls. So I recommend for anyone listening, like, maybe, you know, you can do a group call, but you don't need it to be super intense for an hour and a half. You can just have it on. And even that's nice. And you can sort of replicate that feeling of like, eh, we're just kind of hanging out in the living room together. That is possible.
Yeah, that's nice. I fully fell asleep on one, so I condone that.
That's what I they should that. Do with the church one, too. It's just people can kind of like come in and out of the room.
The yeah, that's how real church service should be. I can't tell you how many times I would have walked into church and been like, no, today's not my day.
Now, Lisa, you might be able to build on some of Caroline's ideas for what church should be that we discussed many years ago. First was
Kevin,
like,
I just realized, oh no, it's come into being. TV church.
TV church. This is what you always wanted.
Not like this.
Monkey's
Not
paw. Like this. Oh, I'll let you have a TV church, Caroline.
Although it has to be only a half hour long, and that's music included.
Oh.
So whoa. I don't know if y'all are making TV church really happen the way
Or 22 minutes and then commercials also.
Could I pay you $100 to do a version of TV church on your Instagram live? What you think TV church should be?
Instagram live?
Ugh. Oh my gosh.
I'm not desperate.
What a platform snob. Wait, do you think I'm desperate for going live on Instagram live?
Oh, I liked your music.
No comment. Wait, what are you doing on Instagram live, Kev? I didn't see anything.
Sometimes I talk to people. Sometimes Elmo talks to people. Sometimes I find out people are racist. And sometimes I just play
a
little
music. What do you mean you find out people are racist?
Fun off mic story I'll tell you about later.
Oh, okay. I hope Elmo was involved. I thought about doing a live stream when I was cutting my hair, and then I was like, wait, nobody fucking cares about me.
That's not true. We care about you so much on the Good Christian
Podcast. I would have enjoyed that.
Well, I'm glad you and Steve are staying safe. I'm glad you guys have each other. I'm glad you still love each other throughout it all.
Yes.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more Good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic. Come on, let's go. I'm diving in. Not zero. Not one. But tattoo pops! It's a tattoo pops. Oh, we make a nicer pope for you. We got the one a pope. We got the two a pope. Double the pope and double the fun.
Do a German one.
No, I can't.
For Ratzinger. You can't?
Nine popes? Or uno pope? Nine. Wait, what's German for one? Damn it. I'm sorry.
Und?
Und?
I don't know.
Dos. Do, toi.
See, I found out that you have a spotless Italian impression and you have a spotless German impression, too.
Yeah, the un, dos, da, toi was really good counting.
Hey, Lisa, if you want to bring some German to the table, I'm more than willing to hear it.
Eins, zwei, drei.
Okay. Eins, that's one.
What's eins?
Eins is one.
Okay, what's
eins,
two?
Vai.
Vai.
Vai. A popas.
A popas. The two of the popas.
Every time they called him El Papa, I was like, Papa.
Oh, I hope we're not doing anything offensive on the Good Christian Fun in a podcast.
Funna.
Let's take a listen, at least, to the trailer for the two popes.
What is that plant?
It's oregano. Your gardener gave it to me.
You're very popular.
I just tried to be myself.
Whenever I try to be myself, people don't seem to like me very much.
Confidential church documents were allegedly leaked to the press,
alleging corruption
and misconduct among the clergy.
I hope this business is not too distressing.
Does a shepherd run away with the wolves up here?
We are moving in directions I can no longer condone.
I've struggled to do what must be done, but I've lost.
Popes can't resign. If you do this, you will damage the papacy forever.
I can no longer sit on the chair of St. Peter.
You're mistaken. You are...
Silence! I cannot play this role anymore. There's a saying, God always corrects one pope by presenting the world with another pope. I should quite like to see my correction.
Cuando tenga la tierra...
Reform needs a politician. The most important qualification for any leader is not wanting to be leader.
It's not me who needs to be satisfied. It's 1.2 billion believers.
Cuando tenga la tierra,
You're the right person. Church needs a change, and you could be that change.
It could never be me.
The grand doors have slammed shut and will remain so till the next pope has been chosen.
From that balcony up there. Nothing is static in nature, not even God.
Where should we find him if he's always moving?
On the journey?
Oh, perhaps we'll find God over there. On the journey, I'll introduce you to him.
Cantare!
King Pope must remember that you are not God. You're only human.
The Tua de Pops.
The Tua Popas.
So this is the movie that came out from Netflix last year, 2019. The final full calendar year of movies. It's starring Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce, who were nominated for Academy Awards for this movie. This was by far the least watched movie, at least the Oscar party I went to, out of all the Academy, like the major Academy Award nominated movies from last year. And the Netflix synopsis is, at a key turning point for the Catholic Church, Pope Benedict forms a surprising friendship with future Pope Francis, inspired by true events. How much are you guys up on just like general like Catholic culture of like how the role of the Pope functions in the church or the papacy in general and cardinals and bishops and all that stuff?
I know nothing about any of that. I can barely keep my own shit together. What do I have to do with those people? But I was shocked by how many people in the movie care so much. And I mean, I knew that from news and stuff. But the way they wait outside like it's a Backstreet Boys concert and they scream, it's crazy.
I go waiting for hours out in the rain.
And they're not like old people either. They're people of all walks mm-hmm. of definitely people our age. And they're just so simply Ratzinger. So excited.
Yeah. I feel like I had like a first grader understanding of the hierarchy and how it's passed down, but no, this was a big learning lesson for me. It was a learning lesson.
Oh, it was a learning lesson. Awesome.
I said first grade.
You embodied first grade. I know basically next to nothing about like even the fact that like a pope resigning is different from a pope dying was fully news to me.
And yeah, because then he was like, no, you can't. There was 1 year when then they said there's 1 year where there was two popes. Or they said there was one time when there was two popes or three or something. And he was like, but it wasn't at the same time. Like it was just some sort of. I didn't know what they were talking about.
They almost have died in the same year. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think part of the reason we picked this movie is because right now people are catching up on film and TV that they haven't had the chance to. And people have like a good lot of extra time that they didn't before. This is available on Netflix. It's streaming on Netflix forever because Netflix produced it. So it's not going anywhere. I thought it was like I saw it pop up on so many like feel good, like cozy little movies that you can watch with your family, like little buddy bromance movies. So I thought, oh, this might be a nice, you know, rather than like deconstructing why the Reliant K guy is a dumbass or something, we could just, you know, watch two fine British thespians, one of which looks exactly like Pope Francis. Jonathan Pryce looks so much like Pope Francis. It's crazy. It's Hopkins, great. They do some makeup.
And Pope Francis is the current Pope, right?
Current Pope.
Yeah, that's the Argentinian Pope.
Okay. Yeah, he's cool. I mean, and I knew when he came into his popehood, I knew that he was a cool Pope, and I don't know anything about it. Like, if that could travel to me, who doesn't give a shit about any of that, then he must have been really cool.
This Pope of the fucks. I did see the documentary that came out a couple of years ago called Pope Francis, a Man of His Word. And I mean, it's a very glowing portrayal of it, as is this movie TBH. And it does gloss over like some stuff with him where like he had some complicity in cover up of abuse and stuff.
But they didn't gloss over it. They went into it.
Well, they went into
like Pope. The child abuse stuff.
Yeah, they went into Benedict's complicity. Oh, they didn't go into Francis. Yeah. Like it's, I mean, obviously, like they really broadened the characters and simplified certain things, but they did actually contend with a lot of like shortcomings and failures of both of them in really interesting ways. I thought it was so interesting when the music just like boomed over his confession to Pope Francis, so you couldn't even hear it because it was so aberrant,
so disturbing.
Yeah, it was so disturbing to even hear. But this movie, I really had no expectation of it, and I hadn't heard nothing but like a generally positive buzz about it. And I was so surprised to see how it was shot like the movie Traffic from 2000 or some like drug lord like documentary movie, just like a bunch of
zoom in on
wild
him out of
zooms and shaky cam without any like image stabilization. And it's based on a play. It's based on a play of the same name, written by Anthony McCarden, who wrote the screenplay, and he also did. What was the movie? The Theory of Everything, that Stephen Hawking movie. He did Bohemian Rhapsody. So he's like, his whole thing is like taking real life characters and then making little movies that are like semi-biographical, but not quite really about them. But
do you think the Pope Francis has seen this movie?
I don't know. I was trying to find that out in the research. Has Pope Francis seen it? They're both still alive. Benedict's like 92 or 3 years old. And
he would not understand the movie, I feel. He couldn't get any jokes or anything in the actual movie.
No. It was very good, very funny. Also, shouts to Anthony Hopkins for like legit playing the piano in the movie. No fakies there.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And also speaking all the languages.
17 languages they had to do.
I couldn't believe it. I was going to take notes when I watched and I forgot. And I just have a piece of paper that says everyone speaks every language.
I knew we were in good hands when they were voting for Pope to the tune of Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Yeah.
ABBA. Oh, I was going to say, like, I have so many thoughts about the movies and like so many like glowing hearts in my eyes for Pope Francis. And then I realized like he's a lot, he could be also very problematic in addition to being like doing some cool stuff. So just as a
disclaimer.
Thank you. I think I'm going to like just say I'm talking about the performance of Pope Francis or like of these guys versus like what they're probably like in real life, because there's just so much history there and so much with the Catholic Church that I have no idea about. And I think none of us do probably. But like, so I don't want to, I don't know, step on something that's probably actually way more complicated in being like, Pope Francis is the best pope and I love him and everything he does is good
to
me.
Well, he's the better pope, right? He's probably the best pope they've ever had. He might not be the best person in the world, but.
Yeah. Well, and even the complicated feeling I have about like, I mean, he's the best pope ever, but he's still like on a throne of a lot of shit, you know? So like, how great is it to be a pope in the first place when you're like that deep in the Catholic Church and all that
stuff? I can't
stuff.
Imagine. Like when they showed him getting chosen as pope and coming out and then they like cut to his like town in Argentina where they're all watching him become pope. I'm like, is that like having a friend that gets on SNL? what a weird feeling.
Perfect comparison.
Yeah, I mean, times, but ass. Everyone watches SNL.
Hey, everyone in America. Wait, you're saying SNL is more relevant than the papacy?
No, I'm saying as if
everyone right now watched SNL in the country.
Oh,
that you lived
gotcha.
Like
gotcha.
We
yes,
all
yes, yes, yes.
Like felt like we had to or something. Yeah.
I mean, we can, and just to add to Caroline's disclaimer, I'll quote a friend of the show, Patrick Walsh's Letterboxd review, in which he gave the movie 2 stars, and he said, cute buddy comedy about one of the most evil organizations on earth.
Oh, yeah.
So we know it. We've talked about Spotlight. You can listen to that episode we did a few years ago. So all that.
I haven't seen Spotlight. And I thought it was crazy in the movie, too, how they talked about like 9 children suffering is worse than losing 9 million followers of the church. If you.
No, it's better. They were like, that was.
Oh, yeah, it is better than
9 kids to have a terrible life. So yeah,
this kind of movie is extreme. Like it is, it's like KTP catnip for like anything that's like, it's a play. It's really talky. It's like we're debating ideas and like, we're both good people basically, but come at it from a different way. And it was so.
Well, and it's two like self-professed virgins with a Fitbit also, which is. You know,
okay.
Kind of
that
one for
one.
Was
locked and loaded. You a-hole. Oh my god. Virgin with a Fitbit. Is that in your notes? I want to see your notes now.
No, baby.
Oh my god.
Self-proclaimed,
if you will. But yeah, so it was extremely up my alley in terms of like the setup for it. But then overall, like I thought, I didn't need as many flashbacks as we got into, like, what happened with the Argentinian, war back in the 70s. And then what happened, like, I like some of the stuff when it was the conflict with Pope Francis when he was, like, a young man. He was maybe going to marry that woman. But otherwise, I didn't fully need all of it.
I thought that was kind of bullshit, too, how he left that girl hanging. I feel like he was going to propose to her. And then anything that he, basically, he would have, like he said, any God would have stopped him anyhow. But I'm like, pretty much you knew you wanted to be a bishop. And so you would have let anything stop you. You would have interpreted anything as a sign.
Totally. Yeah. I really liked the Argentinian flashback only because I felt like it sharpened so much of why he is the way he is and why he cares so much about trying to, like, be poor and be hands-on and stay on those people's levels, because that's what he learned from the friends that he tried to stop from doing their mission work and tried to stop them from serving, basically, and he thought it was more important to protect themselves. I feel like that sharpened a lot for the movie, too, and it made the stakes so much higher of, like, his guilt and his growth and, like, his idea of what God is or what, like, service is and everything.
Yeah, no, I want that story in there, and I want, like, his complicity of, like, okay, how do we measure lives and, like, little decisions that we all make in terms of compromise of, like, the little for the most and stuff. I think just the depiction of it, and just it felt like a flashback episode of a TV show. Like, what if Pope was young? And then just, like, watching that for 45 minutes.
And so, if you don't believe he's young, it's in black and white.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's what. So I was like, if they could have illustrated that in, like, maybe a more creative or interesting way, I don't know. So
animation.
Yes, if it was animated, like Harry Potter, when they showed the Elder Wand getting broken with all the Horcruxes. Cool. Oh my gosh!
What one thing I didn't appreciate about the flashbacks was the color contacts. Like when actors have to wear color contacts to look like other actors. Did you
it's
notice
so
that?
So bizarre.
Yeah,
crazy. You cannot have a brown eye that you suddenly turn.
De Niro did that in Irishman, and it looked so weird.
It's so funny.
It looked everything so weird. What the heck? So basically, it's a movie. It's pretty simple. Like two guys want to retire at the same time. They conflict about ideologies and theology. They become friendly, they do a tango, and then watch soccer together at the end. That's pretty much the movie. But it was like, I don't know. I mean, especially for a time like this, Lisa, you were talking about how this movie was like the most you've thought about God in a little bit. Like, what did it provoke in you the most in terms of like, there seems to be like a fundamental conflict in the movie about the idea of kind of being more conservative or sticking to tradition versus progressivism, because Pope Francis is someone so concerned with climate change and LGBTQ community and things like this. So what did it provoke in thought in you in this way?
I think more than like progressive or conservative, just watching these two like old ass dudes talk about hearing from God, just something. I was like, oh, so you're the Pope, you're like 163 years old, and you are like actively trying to hear from God. I don't know, I just thought that was so interesting, because I guess I always assumed that Pope just becomes Pope and he's like a little king in the name of the Lord, but he doesn't really, I don't know, I guess because I'm in such a phase right now in my own life where I feel like, I mean, maybe it just comes and goes in seasons, but I almost feel like I'm growing out of Christianity. I almost feel like I'm just every day waking up to being like, oh, was that just like a weird childish thing that I was involved with for a while? I mean, who knows? I might like circle back. But seeing those like very old, smart, fancy, silk-shoed men talking so seriously about prayer and trying to hear from God, I was like, okay, maybe it is like a lifelong journey. Or, I don't know. I thought that was kind of heartwarming. No matter what your political stance is, that you would just like still believe that there's a God who wants to talk to you. I thought that was kind of crazy and cool.
No, I love that too.
But also I had a hard time wrapping my head around how Anthony Hopkins was, I guess, walking 10,000 steps a day.
I know.
Fuck off.
Have you guys to watch 10,000 steps? It's like 3 hours of walking.
I know.
Minimum.
And then imagine you walk at the rate that man walks. You saw him like waddling so slow. He would literally from sunup to sundown have to be trundling around his garden for 10,000 steps.
10,000 steps is 20 hours.
He just gets a lot of like eating that crindle or whatever it was in there. Like matzo balls.
Fuel up on my crindle.
Yeah, no. Hashtag Bob steps and he loves a Fanta. He loves the Fanta.
He loves Fanta. Oh, it was so heartbreaking. I'm seeing him drink Fanta alone in his room.
Alone. I know. Two old sweet men striking a friendship.
Oh, I was going to say something about the gods. Oh, the God's voice thing too of like, it, I think I was also struck by that too, of thinking like these men who have risen so high are still like trying to get some sort of like mystical thing out of God too, like hearing God's voice or seeing smoke or having miracles happen where you meet each other on accident or like in the same place at the same time. Yeah, I guess there is that same thing of like, oh, that's a young person's game. Like, that's what we
exactly
need. And then once you mature in faith, you don't need signs as much to know that, like, God's faithful or he's going to show up or he's going to do something for you. Like, it seems strange to even think that they weren't relying on, like, a gut reaction or a right or wrong moral code so much as, like, God's intuition coming down into them of what to do.
Yeah, or I don't know if maybe this is like just symptomatic of how my faith has been, but to me too, I was like, oh, for them, it would be like using faith to get what you want. I don't know. It almost seems like you get so Christian, you become the Pope, and then you basically are God. So it's like, what's the point of even being like spiritual anymore? Like you're, you know,
yeah,
I don't
like
know.
Right
it seems weird,
it.
But I feel like I've been kind of in that headspace where I've prayed for so long for things and then you get them and then you're like, okay, I guess I don't need to pray anymore. I'm done. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You feel like you've reached like a zenith with it, or that you've plateaued and there's like not other ways to go. That's why I always want to be like, so I want to, and I probably fail, but I want to be reflective about what it is I'm actually feeling about God, because I do feel so similar to both of you probably in a lot of regards of like, okay, like, is this it? I guess I'm just saying, generally, if God comes up short in contrast to people.
Mm.
And when we can hear from people in ways that we can't hear from God. And we've even talked about, like, that Mercy Me song we talked about a couple months ago, where it's like, I wish I could hear your voice, but I'm a dumbass, or whatever the song was. Like, that frustration that so many people have that seems to be shared, like, throughout generations and so many different kinds of people, and even like King David in the Psalms and stuff of like, where are you? I can't hear you. And kind of like that lament, like a life marked by lament of like not being able to hear God. And that in the movie is kind of the reason that Pope Benedict steps down. He's like, I'm not coming in clear. I need a hearing aid or something. I suck at this now. So do you want to do it?
Or like, I must be so off that God doesn't, can't even stand me right now. And that was so torturous.
Yeah, I related so much to that when he was asking the cool Pope, like, hey, so you're pretty popular. Like, how do you do it? He's like, I just be myself. He's like, oh, cool. When I be myself, people don't like it. I feel like I've been in that position so many times. I feel like I'm always like, I'll be looking at a person like, wow, like you're really doing it. People seem to like you. And I'm just like at a loss. I'm like, how do you get
like
them to do that?
All the time.
Really? I feel like both of you are very charming to people when you are fully yourselves. Or maybe I know
I feel
just
like
the,
I
the
could
lie
be, if I'm like fully
you.
Charged, maybe. But there's people that I'm in awe of people who are like that guy, like that cool Pope. If that was me sitting in the garden waiting for the fancy Pope to come meet me, I would just sit my ass down and stare blankly into space. But instead he's like, oh, I hear a whistle. I strike up a conversation with a gardener while I wait. We bond over something we have in common. I am not that person. I feel like that's a gift. Like, Kevin, you have that. I feel like you just like make friends with someone
Oh, that's very nice.
But I just don't have I feel like I don't have the social energy to do that. And I think it gets me in trouble because a lot of people think I'm an extrovert. But I don't really know that I am, because I get so, like, church. I'll go to church. I do not want to talk to anyone when I'm there.
Yeah.
I don't.
Wait, is the as a test of a fellow church introvert, the moment when the sermon ends and everyone gets up and starts talking to you, is that also pure torture for you?
I don't experience that moment because I get up when it sounds like it's winding down and go to the restroom.
Yeah.
I've been to church with Caroline a few times where they dismiss or give a benediction. Then there's just like a cloud of smoke where Caroline used to be and a trail going out the doors.
It's too scary. And like, Yeah, and Kevin's talking to like 17 best new pals. And right. I can't like go glom onto him. And I can't just stare at people and then they like feel like I'm pathetic. And then they'll
wait,
talk
do
to
I
me,
do a bad job of introducing
versa.
You to other people?
No, no, no. You don't do anything wrong. It's all, yeah. And so I'm just like, I'll just go.
I'm so relieved to hear you say that, Caroline, because I never would have guessed that you felt that way. Because are you an extrovert or an introvert?
I don't know. I think I'm probably more introvert. Like if the definition is you recharge on your own versus recharging being around people.
I think that's me too. I think that's where it gets confusing. Because if I do have enough alone time, I'm like, I can be the mask at a party.
I love
the paragon of fun and friendship being Jim Carrey's the mask. I mean, once you get her going at a party, somebody stop Lisa Gilroy. You can't.
P-A-R-T-Y, because I gotta.
Oh, God, you actually kind of look like him just then. Oh, wow. Yes. Really lovely music in this movie. I mean.
Mm-hmm. So many, like, quotables in this movie. I was writing down whole quotes.
Oh.
I mean, like, damn.
Give us one in your best.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
Impression as well.
The most important qualification for any leader is not to want to be a leader.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the cardinals.
I concur with that. Full stop.
That was a great one. Oh, my gosh. When he says, I believe that giving communion is not reward for the virtuous, but food for the starving. Because the uncool Pope is like trying to catch him. I'm like, you give communion to people who are divorced or something like that. And he's like, yeah, it's not for people who did it all perfectly.
Yeah, that shit is like, to me, it's like, oh, is interracial marriage also illegal? Like not giving communion to people who have been divorced.
I know, it's so insane. That's like, but that's like a huge problem.
The one I've heard that's kind of similar to that, Caroline, I've heard in some circles is like, church is supposed to be not a museum of saints, but a hospital for sinners, which kind of gets at that same idea. In ways that make you
and
giggle.
A shower for stinky people.
It's not
but
supposed
yeah, he
to
was
be
a cool.
It's not supposed to be a bubble bath for the 1%. It's supposed to be a freaking scrub
a
dub
public beach shower.
A freaking scrub a dub dub.
Disgusting. Oh man, when the German guy says, "I know he's there, but he doesn't laugh. Like God doesn't laugh with him." So sad.
Oh yeah, and then that was another thing too, where he was like, "Don't even respond to that. I know you're not going to get it." Because I could just hear his internal dialogue being like, "Yeah, I bet God just laughs at your jokes all the time. You guys just have the best time together." Like,
and that's
you
when
know, I relate to that jealousy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when Pope Francis in the movie says, you shouldn't be mad that you can't hear from God. You should be mad that you can't have a laugh with God.
You should be sorry that I had a laugh with her, not that I had sex with her.
Oh, man.
I think that's so funny that both of us related to the Nazi Pope more than like the nice
he's not
Pope.
A Nazi. Like, is he a Nazi? No, he's
that's
not.
That's what they call him. No, but they don't. Nate was telling me like no one kind of really knows like where he was World War II and he was in Poland. And so they're like.
His diary is just question mark, where, question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the part of the movie where somebody called him a Nazi? Remember when the Pope was at the pub?
Yeah,
okay,
a couple
so
people.
That comment was directed towards the Pope.
Yeah.
The German Pope, not the cool Pope.
Yes, okay.
We don't know names.
Love this dichotomy of German Pope, cool Pope.
But I feel like I totally could be the German Pope too. And like one, like, I don't know if I'm hearing from God in the right way. And like, you seem to get it so easily and people just like you. And you have this like salt of the earth, like clarity about who matters and like how to do the right thing and when it's the right time to do something and all that stuff.
It's so true. I know it's horrible. I think I'm German Pope too. I'm German Pope. I made a little like CD
I love
of me
Commissar
playing
Rex
piano.
On TV.
I'd love to sign it for you.
I love the dog solving crimes.
I love crimes.
Nice shoes. You are German Pope.
I am German Pope.
German Caroline.
You are German Pope too. You like are aw. You like raw. That's basically the dog show.
Oh, that's
watching.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Going to Reddit awe is the equivalent.
Okay. Please don't call it raw. Okay. Just for the
calling
record.
It raw.
Now, a factual inaccuracy I found in research for this movie is Pope Benedict wasn't into soccer. He liked Formula One racing instead.
Why wouldn't they put that? That's way cooler. Because
it sounds way too fancy.
Yeah. And you want that ending where they're like,
Formula One racing?
I'm rooting for my team. Well, I'm rooting for my team. And then they're like, oh, that's so great. What more could you want? I love during the tango, too.
I guess it makes them more, the football makes him more like Argentinian, like a man of the people, and everybody rallies around him. Whereas if he had made a reference to Formula One racing in a preach, maybe no one would get it.
Yeah. No, I think Benedict, German Pope, was into Formula One.
That checks out. Yeah.
Oh.
No, so I think cool Pope was into
Nazi Pope liked Formula.
Hell yeah.
Cool Pope.
Good grief. Oh man, well this really made an was this a cozy watch for everyone? Was it like fun and relaxing to get into this movie?
I cried so much. It was
really
I cried too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Caroline, yeah. I would have thought you did not care for this movie.
Really? Oh yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was so sad that I missed it. I mean, I just obviously for many reasons had like no interest when it was going around for Oscars and everything. Like, I don't need this. But I also like movies that are like plays where people are just talking for long stretches about their big ideas. And like, it was really sweet. And it was probably not very accurate to how these real men are in like most situations. But mm-hmm. I really liked the characters and how they made them and like the different perspectives and like and how you even started to understand Nazi Pope and like where he's coming from and what he's like, why he's so burdened too. And also that being a Pope is like really hard and not fun. But it was really moving and special. And like, I think one of those movies that like inspires you to be good and like take care of people and to like deny being fancy so that you can be more relatable to people.
Oh, when he's like, now, no, the slippers. I don't need the slippers at the end.
Oh, yeah. He said the carnival's over.
Yeah. The carnival's over felt like the Pope version of By Felicia or something.
Yeah. Seriously.
Felt like such a slam.
Uh-huh. But it was hard to watch it and like try to put out of my mind of like, yeah, but they still are like doing all of this within the Catholic Church. And like, how is this only remarkable because he was a priest in the Catholic Church? Like, would it be so remarkable if this guy did all this work and cared for these people if he weren't a priest? Like, what does that mean, you know?
Oh, yeah. Is it only cool because of the infrastructure with which he did that? It's like, are we giving extra points for like a base action within a regressive environment or something?
Yeah, like it was revolutionary there, but outside the world, that would just be like...
Yeah, catch
being
up.
A really good person.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, like a lot of the stuff he did was pretty amazing, but it's still like, just go be a therapist, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just go be a therapist.
I like thought that was crazy too when the Pope died at the beginning and they just like carried his body out. Because I went to Italy for the first time last year and they do have the body of like the like two popes ago, like fully out in the open. Ooh. It's like, but it's completely embalmed and behind a glass case, but you can just like look at him. He's just there.
Oh
That's
my
so
God.
Insane. I visited Canada one time and there were quite a few Catholic churches, that had like a finger or like someone's
Wait,
head.
Wait, what? Did you say Canada?
At. Yeah.
Like, my country?
You're, oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I meant to say, let's quickly do the anthem and I'll mention my travels. But yeah, it was like Eastern Canada.
Whoa, and there was a finger in a Catholic church?
Yeah.
Oh, quite a few, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, like a lot of Catholic churches have like their relics that they're built around and stuff.
I did not know that. I don't think I've... Oh, I went in a Catholic church like once. I was a student teaching a Catholic high school, teaching drama. And we had to go to mass one day. And I didn't have any idea what was going on.
No.
And I got whapped in the knees so hard by that thing that comes down that you have to like kneel on to pray.
Ouch.
I had no idea that was going to happen. It seemed
Did
like
someone take it down and does it hit you?
Yeah, because it just happened. And anyways, everyone
that
was ready for it.
That would never happen to you at Rock Hudson Presbyterian, not Presbyterian Evangelical Church.
Rock
in
Hudson
County.
Presbyterian?
I was trying to think of like The Rock, you know, or like
what
Lighthouse
is,
Church or
what
whatever.
Is this church? We pray to St. Doris Day. What the hell? Caroline, when we don't have to socially distance anymore, do you want to recreate the scene where Pope, German Pope dances with cool Pope?
Yeah.
And you're German Pope, like, and no, you're like, stop. No, no, I don't like it.
Yeah,
stop,
that
stop,
made
stop.
Me uncomfortable. I thought he was going to snap because he didn't even want to hug before. And he certainly didn't even want to hug
really
at the end.
Pushed him very far. They had pizza together. Like, give him a second to, you know, catch his breath.
I know. We've done pizza, hugging, and tango in the same day. Let a man breathe.
Too much. And he just walked through the Sistine Chapel. You know, like, he's tired.
I love the Sistine Chapel.
That part was sweet.
Yeah.
But also, what voice was that? Speaking of walking, sorry, I'm just all caught up on this. Like, don't stop now. Keep moving. Keep moving.
Don't stop now. Keep moving.
That
was like, just...
What actually says that?
That was a dumb... They didn't want to shoot insert shots of his wristwatch or like a Fitbit. They just wanted to put it in audio, I think. I think that was just like a dumb shortcut to that.
And they had to make it sound digital. Fitbit. Otherwise, people would be like, who's that lady off camera?
Yeah, because I'm sure that's probably how they did in the play, too.
Right.
What are you giggling at?
Oh, just, who's that lady in the camera?
Yeah, I mean, I literally don't know a single soul besides my buddy who's, like, super into movies and sees literally every movie that saw the two popes. And I get it. But you know what? Let's transition to our time of voting. The way this works is... We'll give it a thumbs down, thumbs up, or a space between. Holy toast, that means we send it to
white
pubs
smoke
all the way. We give it the white smoke into heaven. Or holy roast. Oh no, the two of the pubs got to go to the hell. Or if we're not sure, the Catholic doctrine states that we can send them to us.
The space between.
Is this offensive? Should I cut this out?
Italian rule announcer.
If you cut it out, there's not going to be any part of the podcast.
It's just the sound clips. Like,
no, we'll still have that part where your cats get married to each other or whatever the hell we were talking about.
Thank God. That's all you need.
So, Caroline, we'll start with you.
Holy toast. White smoke. I really liked it.
I thought you were going to say white power.
No. Jesus. My God. I thought it was great. And again, like, the characters of these men were very inspirational in what they did and what they overcame. And I also like movies like this because I'm so behind on history a lot of the time that it was cool to just get, like, fresh context on, like, what was going on in Argentina in the 70s. I had no idea. And what happened there? And, like, Nate told me, too, that it even had affected his family because some of his family was from Chile and they had to move to Canada.
Oh, my country?
Yeah, your country during that time because people were just being killed, like, all the time. So I liked getting that context, too. And then, yeah, even just wrapping my head around a little more of, like, how the Catholic Church works and what it means to people and all the stuff they do. I mean, it's so insane. It is a circus that I deeply respect and wish everyone did the best in.
What the
hell?
Holy
toast.
All right, we turn it to Lisa Gilroy.
Holy toast, brother. I enjoyed the movie. It was very fun to see that man who used to be in Game of Thrones and was very rude and grumpy.
Jonathan Pryce.
Way. He was rude. He was very rude.
He was a real grumpy Gills in Game of Thrones. The three-eyed what was his name? The High Raven?
The High Sparrow.
The High Sparrow. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really rude in Game of Thrones and he loved rules. And then in this movie, he was like, loved soccer and loved people. And I thought that was very cool that he was like a joke pope. He was an ABBA pope. He was a pizza pope.
Pizza pope.
Thought that was very cool. And I also liked learning about history. And it brought a tear to my eye in the end. I will tell you, the only time I wanted to fall asleep and or die was when Anthony Hopkins was playing the piano and kept stopping to like say stupid shit. I was like, I'm so bored right now.
Yeah, that was cool when German Pope did an Instagram live in the middle of the movie. It's just like, oh, you're just dinkling on the piano. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
What made you cry, Lisa?
Oh, at the end when they announced that he won.
Won? Like it's America's Next Top Pope?
Well, the Pope tryouts looked...
He didn't come here to make friends and he won.
I did not come here to make cardinals.
No, but truly, I mean, it's weird, but it did feel like he won, did it not? Like, who doesn't want, this is what I'm saying, you guys. Everyone says they don't want to be on Saturday Night Live because it's very, like, cutthroat and not fun. Same as Pope, but everyone don't want to be a Pope.
We all
am I wrong? Like,
no.
There's got to be a part of him that was like, wow, me, this tiny guy, born and raised in this small town, look at me now. I'm the freaking Pope.
Wow.
Like, there's got to be a part of him that was like, look at me now. I won.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'll give it a holy toast. I really enjoyed it. I did fall asleep twice and had to rewind certain parts of it.
Kevin.
I know. That's usually not me.
Was one of the falling asleep times when Anthony Hopkins was playing the piano?
Yes, it was.
I was right there with you. I was like really getting pulled into it.
I think maybe Hopkins just wanted to put that in. Although Pope Benedict does play piano too. But he plays like Mozart. He doesn't just do like jazzy jazz.
They said that he had an album.
Yes.
He had an album.
So I feel like that would be a really weird thing just to make up.
I would love if we gave away his album as a good Christian fun podcast prize. So I'll just say, you know, dear listener, this is a movie about ideas. This is a movie about history. And really, it's a movie about friendship. So I recommend all of you hop to the nearest screen and Netflix what I think is a priceless experience. And that's no lie on my part. No Pope fiction, if you will. Caroline closed her computer and hung up. Okay, this is unprecedented. And me and Lisa will write out the rest of the podcast.
See ya.
Maybe I'll make it so like no one can. Oh no, she's shunning it too. No,
just kidding.
Lisa will stay with me, but you can give your final word on it, dear listener. Go to @ChristianFunPod. You can give it a holy roast or a holy toast or a space between. So get out there and
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Ballers,
ballers. Lisa, I don't know if Caroline's coming back.
Is it over? It's officially over.
I think she doesn't know how to get back in. So I think it's going to be me and you closing out the show together.
All right, let's do it.
And something that is not at all a metaphor about how I feel right now.
Such an elaborate joke for Caroline also to.
All right, let's bring it down, Lisa. All right, we're lifting. Oh, you feel that? That's the soundtrack to a quarantine if I've ever heard one. Now, Lisa, you've been on the show before. You know how this goes. How many times have you been on the show before, by the way?
Well, not enough to know how this goes, because it gave me anxiety when you just said that, because I don't remember what part this is.
Lisa, we're not here to lift up our project. We're not here to promote ourselves or to plug our own social media, as wonderful as it may be, given that we're going to be doing Dillweed on Instagram Live. Coming soon to a screening.
Oh, look, Caroline's back.
Oh, Loki decided to show back up.
I'm so sorry. I thought it would just, you know, put it to sleep for a second and just kick me fully out of the whole thing.
No worries, co-host. We're in this together equally. blah, blah, blah. Lift up. We start with Caroline.
I will lift up Rihanna's new single, Believe It. It's okay. You know, it's all we have right now. So just listen to it. I'll also lift up the Washington Post TikTok. It's very funny.
Oh, I've seen those TikToks before. Those are great. Thank you, Caroline, for the was a brief lift up. All right, we turn it to Lisa.
I'm going to go ahead and lift up bubble baths. They're the only things I really have going on right now. It's a great way to take something that would be a 10-minute shower and turn it into an activity that can actually eat up some of the time in the endless sprawling day. Mm-hmm. Also a great way to not really ever get clean, which is kind of a bad side effect, but you're just kind of in there and
you just get wet.
You just don't really know if anything is skin clean.
New drop. So. You just get wet.
You just get wet. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do sometimes. You just gotta get wet.
That's all I got.
Well, where are your socials, though? Where can people lift you up on social media?
Oh, at the Lisa Gilroy.
At the Lisa Gilroy. Let's get Lisa to 20,000 followers by the end of quarantine.
By the end of today would be great.
By the end of today when this comes out.
She needs it today.
So
sorry,
Wednesday,
I need it today or no dice.
April 1st. All right. Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere, patreon.com/goodchristianfun. And once again, it's April, so those subscription renewals are coming up, and I'd say vote your conscience.
No. take care of your budgets, y'all, but
take care of your budget and take care of your favorite podcasters. Don't you need us now that you don't have a commute? Go to Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a 5-star review. That'd be so nice of you. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity is our local food banks. If you don't have one, you can always do Feeding America. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on the show, friend.
Thanks for having
what
me,
a
Pope.
Fun, what a fun zoomy time. Take a bubble bath, cuddle up with the groom-to-be. And I hope you and Steve have a nice, safe time and feel
Lisa,
loved.
You're
and
my
safe.
Cool Pope.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Caroline. You're my cool Pope. I'm sad that we're not cool Popes, but one day.
One day we'll win.
Nothing but respect for my cool Pope. And it's Olivia Pope from Scandal, Kerry Washington. And there's nothing left to say except for an off pod's people said, amen. Oh, man. What song do you guys want to go out on?
What about that Ciao Bella, Ciao Bella, Ciao, Ciao, Ciao from Two Popes?
Okay, let's do that one. I'll put it in here. All right. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao. Da-da-da. They do it the Popes. Ed ho trovato l'invaso, o partigiano, portami via, o bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 partigiano, portami via, che mi sento di morire. That was a HeadGum Podcast.